Welcome to the Warning Track Power Hour. I am Dr. Andrew Scaff. He is Dr. Michael Werman, Esquire. On today's show, we'll be recapping the NFL's Week 4, Kansas City Chiefs' victory over the Baltimore Ravens. We're part of that discussion. We'll talk about the end of the Kansas City Royals season, which will not be participating in the postseason. But they did finish above 500, so that's, I guess, positive. We'll also talk about next week's matchups for the NFL Week 5 and our locks of the week. But we'll start today where we always start these episodes this time of the year with the Kansas City Chiefs. They did have a finally had a like solid outing against a good team that's kind of on the ropes right now. They did avoid the 1-3 start. We got a surprise loss from the Chargers too. So the Chiefs not being 3 games back, but only now 1 game back in the division is a huge improvement from where we thought we could be. Mike, are you relieved at the developments over the weekend on the Chiefs positioning? Or are you still concerned about their season? Was everything right with the world now?
I'm still a little concerned, but I'm relieved that they did so well. I think for the most part things are going in the right direction. The defense is playing well, and it has been playing well the last 3 weeks. Maybe not the week one as much. They didn't play so well down in Brazil, but they seem to have played well against Philadelphia, against the Giants, and now against the Ravens especially. The Ravens have suffered a lot of injuries, but all their injuries are on the defensive side. Their offense was, was everybody was there. Lamar got hurt at one point, or at least he maybe was just taken out as a precaution because the team was doing so poorly. The Chiefs had a 17-point lead, and were cruising at that point, and Lamar Jackson seemed flummoxed most of the game. And other than the opening drive, the Ravens didn't really move the ball very well. So I feel good about the Chiefs' defense. The offense, I think, played pretty well. Mahomes himself played very well. The running game still, I guess you might say, needs work, but they got enough out of it with Worthy kind of doing the end arounds and Kareem Hunt short yardage. Mahomes didn't need to really work any of his magic on the ground. He seemed to be fairly content to stay in the pocket. He had some deep throws this week that connected with Worthy, and then also some, a decent throw to Hollywood Brown in the end zone, one to Tyquan Thornton in the end zone from a good number of yards out. So Kelce even didn't play too badly, I didn't think. He didn't have a ton of yards, but he had some good spots. So it was, I think the Chiefs, this was by far, I think, their all-around best game. But yeah, hopefully they can build on it. And it was also a game where it didn't look like they were in danger of, they did give up a garbage time touchdown to I think Justice Hill on that big run. But this was a 37-13 game for, and the Chiefs looked like they weren't taking their foot off the gas either in the third or fourth quarter, so that was nice. So yeah.
Even with Lamar Jackson on the bench, they didn't let up too, right? So
Yeah, they had some gutsy fourth down calls. Yeah, it was a big, yeah, it was a good win all around. And yeah, so how do you feel? What do you think of the, do you think the Chiefs have righted the ship, or do you think there's still room to improve, or they're still missing Rashee Rice? Is he going to make the team all that, even that much better, do you think, when he comes back in a couple of weeks?
I don't know how much it changes things, right? I mean, if they play like they did this weekend, then I don't know if there's a lot to worry about on the offensive side. But it's another weapon that they have, which sometimes may be almost a distraction though, too, in some ways, just having too many options. But it seemed like, yeah, Worthy made a big difference though. You think that the difference in this game was just having Worthy back? Just to have that one extra threat, or was there actually just like a shift in the like offensive mentality, that led to that being more successful this week?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think having Worthy help, but I think also this the offense knew what to do. They were going for it a little bit more, and they kind of knew who they were, and maybe Mahomes is trusting his options a little bit more now, because you know, a lot of the long passes, they didn't go to, you know, one of the longest passes went to Worthy, but a lot of the other passes didn't go to him. Worthy didn't catch a touchdown. He had one long run. He actually led the Chiefs in both receiving and rushing, but it was a really spread out kind of performance. Excuse me. So I need the sneeze button. Yeah, it was
Least it wasn't like right into a microphone or something, right? So, yes.
and we didn't turn on the echo button. An episode of Frasier where he supposedly confused the echo button with the cough button, which he, as
Yes.
my listeners know me for my echoing cough. But yeah, I think I think having Worthy really helped. But Worthy, I think, has improved a lot as a player in general. I guess we finally get to see that. And so maybe that's again the reason why the Chiefs were so, I'll use the word flummoxed again, in San Diego, playing against the Chargers in Sao Paulo, because they had planned to use Worthy so much that game, and then he's out before they even get a chance to do anything.
Yeah.
That really put them in a bind. So, and then again, they couldn't really quite adjust against Philadelphia. Except, they used Thornton a little bit more in that Worthy role, and they finally got it going against the Giants after a qu quarter or two. But
Yeah.
maybe this offense was, built to have somebody like Worthy. And then, again, you wonder if because Rice missed most of last season, but he was the Chiefs' leading receiver the year before. What these guys can do. Do you think if both of them are healthy, do you think Rice is the number one target, or is Worthy the number one target?
Oh, yeah, I mean, maybe that's something that, you know, it trades from week to week, even just like to see who's hot that day, or who's, you know, not being double covered or covered by the number one corner, whichever, you know, way it works out. So they seem to be like pretty dynamic in figuring out the weaker spot. And maybe, you know, focusing on that when they can. So, and hopefully, you know, trades back and forth. It's not just one target that they're aiming for in the same role every time. It's maybe both, or even with Thornton too. Like, you know, having three wide receivers that can go deep, that's a pretty crazy threat that we haven't really seen that much of from the Chiefs in quite a long time, right? I mean, just to having, I
Not
mean, there
since
was like an
Sammy Wa not
entire,
since Sammy Watkins was on the team.
right.
Hill and Watkins, and you had Marcus Robinson who can go deep.
Yeah, but that's been a few years, and that's you know, it's almost like we've forgotten what it looks like to see those that downfield threat actually connect, not just throwing it downfield, but having it actually connect downfield. That's it's a wonderful return, right?
So it's something to, party like it's 2019 again, something like that. It's
Pretty
that.
much.
Yeah, it's a good
Yeah.
it's a good feeling to have, and hopefully they can keep it up against Jacksonville next week on Monday night. I originally thought maybe that Monday night game in Jacksonville was a sort of strange scheduling quirk, because why do you want to schedule a game? Again, I didn't think Jacksonville was going to be that good, but they've started out pretty well, and
Yeah.
the Chiefs are always a draw, so maybe it's not as bad of a matchup as I originally thought. Again, Jacksonville at home as well is not considered to be the most intimidating environment. Although it's warm, I guess that's part of the heat, I guess, is part of it.
Yeah.
But especially in the winter time, maybe when everyone else is closed, it's cold. It stays warm there. But we will talk more about that game in a little bit. But more talk or any more talk about the Chiefs?
Yeah, I had one quick question with the Chiefs. Do you think they removed every play that has Worthy and Kelce crossing anywhere in the middle of the field from the playbook.
I don't know if they, well, it's possible you'd think because they removed every quarterback sneak from the playbook when Mahomes
Yes.
got hurt. But maybe, I don't know, because crossing routes, those happen all the time. So maybe, but maybe there's probably an emphasis placed on avoiding running into your own players. Maybe
Or just
more.
like the depth of the route between the wide receiver, even if it's the smaller wide receiver and the much larger tight end position, don't make them cross in the same depth, right?
Who knows? That might be
And
something probably
then,
something they worked on, but it could just it was a freak play, so
yeah, I mean that we haven't really seen that happen before. This is just something. I don't know. Maybe somebody ran the wrong route and just ended up in the same place, or if it was a design play, just didn't. That wasn't what was supposed to happen. I don't know. Or maybe it was supposed to. Maybe it was planned, Mike. Was it a conspiracy?
seriously,
Yeah, I don't know.
no.
I don't think so.
Goes all the way to the top
Yeah.
the president.
There was one weird situation late in the game though, where Baltimore did get that late touchdown, but they didn't go for two. Did you think that was strange, or do you think they were just conceding? They just wanted to get out of there
They were just
without,
conceding, wanting to get out of there, I think, because
yeah.
they went for one, and then they didn't call timeout against the Chiefs when they were just kneeling the ball. So, or
Yeah.
the Chiefs actually ran the ball because they thought maybe Baltimore would try to call timeout. So then they just kneeled down because they knew Baltimore wasn't going to. So
Yeah.
it was a concessionary, so if that's a word.
Yeah. If it isn't, it is now. And it works appropriately. I knew what you meant by it, if you so it does work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a word. It's in but it's maybe not related. Maybe it's not a normal
But
tainted.
is it a, is it is it does it have the archaic tag on it?
It's a British, they use it in British English more, but it's related to concession, a reduced rate, a concession price, but concessionary reduced pricing scheme. But I think if it's an word in British English, I think it's sort of like it was, they were conceded,
Yeah.
conceding the game basically. So yeah, we'll use
Yeah.
concessionary action by
Okay.
the Ravens, because yeah, they would have gone for two, and they would have probably would have onside kicked as well. So there are a couple things.
Yeah. But the not going for the 2-point conversion, pretty much you assume they weren't going to do the onside kick, because then they would need that, and then they'd have to score, and they'd have to do another score.
Yeah, they got into it. Yeah, basically they were still down three scores when they were down when they scored the touchdown.
Yeah. Three scores before, three scores after a touchdown. Seems like a crazy situation, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, it must have been just, let's just get out of here with this, with not injure ourselves any further. We're gonna lose the game. We're not gonna score.
Right.
Right. Again, it's a regular season game, so you want, and the Ravens were beaten up quite a bit on the defensive side, at least. Maybe, and then they didn't have Lamar. They had Cooper Kupp, not Cooper Kupp,
Rush.
Rush. Yeah, Cooper Kupp, of
Yeah.
course, now plays for the Seattle Seahawks, the wide receiver, former LA Ram. But yeah, Cooper Rush, former Dallas Cowboy, now Baltimore Raven. Do you think Rush is an ideal backup quarterback for Lamar Jackson? Because he doesn't do really the same stuff, so he can't run the same offense as you would with Lamar. But you've been of the opinion that you like a quarterback that's a little different as your backup than similar, right?
Well, as long as he does, as long as you have a decent running game, I think, right? So, which they do, right? So, I mean, you can still run the ball, and then you can throw the ball, but not have to like be the have the quarterback be the dynamic, decision maker. He can stand back and pass, but also just hand off to your running backs. I mean, you could just do that all day, and when they are lulled into that rhythm of expecting the run all the time, then he can still complete the passes from the pocket. That's, I mean, that's a pretty good change of pace from the really, dynamic Lamar Jackson type. But it's easier to just run the same offense if you have another quarterback that can do that. But how often do you have two Lamar Jacksons on your roster?
Well, you have a, you know, you maybe you have Lamar Jackson, and then if you have, I don't know, they had drafted somebody young, they would, or if you have just,
Or old, like we always joke about some of the old draft picks, right?
the elderly first round, the elderly 25-year-old first year picks. Yeah, but like the, it seemed like the Ravens traditionally have had running quarterbacks as their backups. Huntley was sort of a runner. I think Tyrod, they had Michael Vick as their backup for, not Michael Vick, RG3, excuse me, as their back, RG3 as their backup for Lamar earlier in his career. So they had similar kinds of players. It seems like the Chiefs maybe are doing sort of the same, because I think Minshew is a little bit like Mahomes. He's sort of a scrambler, sort of a improviser as well back there. Maybe
For the first time, though, since Mahomes has taken over as the QB.
yeah, they've really originally usually just had kind of plodding pocket passers back there.
Yeah, old like elder statesmen who might be able to teach Mahomes a thing or two about being in the league, right? But now it's he's past that needing that like mentorship sort of concept.
Although when Mahomes was a backup to Alex Smith, they're also similar types. Smith is a scrambler kind of as well. Not, he was more of a passer, but he could scramble if he needed to. Somewhat like Mahomes. He didn't have the huge arm or the improvisational skill set maybe that Mahomes did, but he did a lot of the same things as
But
Mahomes.
he changed a lot during his career because he was kind of a just like a game manager early on and then became like a real like downfield threat in Kansas City, with a different QB coach and head coach, then yeah, he really he, his gameplay really changed a lot, I think, during his KC stay, don't you think?
He kind of evolved into the player they thought he would be originally. I think when he was drafted out of he was drafted out of number one overall pick. So he was drafted ahead of Aaron Rodgers. So he must have thought he could do something well. So yeah. Speaking anything any other should we go to our bets now?
Sure. Neither of us picked in the Chiefs game this week as one of our locks, so
No, we
yes,
should
we'll
have.
have to
Dang
travel
it.
elsewhere in the we did both pick them on the big board.
You did both pick them correctly
Yeah,
on the
so
board. We'd also picked we also ended up kind of reversing positions from previously. I was only 1-2 this week. You were 2-1, so you're catching up slowly but surely on the locks of the week. So do you want to should we go through our losses first and then go to our wins? So maybe I'll start out. Excuse me.
On our sort of tour through the week in review.
I was this close to being 3-0, but I ended up being 1-2. So one of my first, the first, I guess, more painful loss of the week was my New Orleans at Buffalo. Again, I bet two games in a row these past 2 weeks at Buffalo under, and each one went barely over. So it shows you how good the lines are that the guys in Vegas set. But it was New Orleans at Buffalo. It was a game that was 31-19. 50 points total were scored. But the over was tripped because it was only 48 and a half was the over under. And 13 of those of 50 points were scored in the fourth quarter. So I'm not sure when the actual over was tripped. It
Just
was,
outside the 2-minute warning.
yeah, with, yeah.
And it, with a meaningless field goal too, a 9-point lead became a
12
12-point
points.
lead.
Yeah, basically that is about as well. I guess it became two touchdowns rather than a touchdown and a field
Yeah.
goal. But it still stayed a two score game. But yeah, a 28-19 game became a
Well, 28-19 under.
2019 under became a 31-19 over for Matt Prater. So Matt Prater both times has gotten me for this over under. So he's become my mortal enemy. That's no longer Michael McCorkle, Mac Jones, or even Aaron Rodgers. It's I think Matt Prater is my
Matt
current
Prater. Yes.
like my current nemesis, because he has beaten me twice in a row with these over unders, and I would have been very close. So I missed that over under just barely because of Matt Prater. And so that was a 50-point game. 48.5 was my over under. I went under, so I missed that one by 1.5 points. How about your lone loss of the week, Dr. Scaff?
My loss of the week was in one of the more bizarre games of the week, I think, with a game that ended in a tie too, which is ridiculous. But I had the Green I had Green Bay at -6.5 at Dallas. I thought Green Bay would be able to, you know, win by a touchdown or so. Green Bay gave up a ton of points. They had a weird blocked extra point that got returned for 2 points the other way. It's like a 3-point swing there. Yeah, Dallas ended up able to make it, you know, being able to take it to overtime. Dallas scored, I think, first in the overtime, which meant that Green Bay couldn't win by a touchdown. It was, and then yeah, Green Bay had a field goal to at the as time expired to
To ruin the
tie.
to ruin any money line bets that were going one way or the other. Which saved,
Yes.
I guess they saved our money line bet because I think both of us had picked Dallas to lose that game. So we both picked Green Bay to win. But Green Bay only
Right.
tied at the end,
So
40 to 40.
we managed to push on the money lines, but
Would you
yeah.
believe, or do you believe that the 40-40 score was a scorigami or not a scorigami? What's your guess?
You would think that that would be a scorigami. Is it? Was
Yeah,
it not?
it was a scorigami. I looked
Okay.
it up earlier. So it was the first ever 40 to 40 tie.
Yeah.
I believe it was the highest tie scoring tie game in NFL history since at least since the merger. Maybe since
Yeah.
before or something. I think there was a higher scoring tie
That's
game.
crazy.
But 40-40 tie.
It was one of those games that just would not end though. I don't know. Did you notice that too, that it was
Yeah, I fell asleep actually in overtime or before
because
overtime.
it had to have been well after midnight on the East Coast,
I
right?
woke
Like,
up, yeah, I fell asleep at the end of the game. Then I woke up kind of, it was overtime. And then I think Dallas had scored, and I think I fell asleep again. And then woke up to discover that it was a tie, which I hadn't, I didn't know.
Even in your dreamlike state, you didn't
Dream of a
envision a
tie.
tie. Yeah.
No,
But
no.
like, you know, both teams used both of their timeouts. They used like every second of the clock in the overtime, and it still ended in a tie. Mike, are you satisfied with the tie game scenario for the finish, or would you rather them have some way to like make it so it never ends in a tie?
You gotta let the game go on forever, that or have just sudden death, and have no time on the clock. I don't really care if it's a tie in the regular season. It doesn't bother me. It messes up the
No.
playoffs sometimes, but it's kind of a little boring.
Yeah.
You don't get that many ties usually, maybe one or two a year at most.
Yeah.
So
This isn't soccer, Mike. We're not supposed to end in ties. Games don't end in ties.
well, are you predicting this is the only tie this year in the NFL, or will there be one more?
I would. Well, the way the rules are set now, I think it encourages the possibility to have ties especially because the playing time is not a full
Sure.
quarter, it's only
Yeah,
10
10
minutes.
minutes.
So I think it actually, like, you know, sets the stage to have more ties than there would be possibly in the with the previous rule set. But it seems unlikely. I think the only one other game had gone to overtime, I think, in the first now 4 weeks of the season, so we've had two overtime games. One ended in a tie. I mean, I would bet against another tie game, but I don't.
That's the first tie game since 2022.
Yeah.
There were
I
two
think,
ties
but this.
in 2022, only one in 21, one in 20, one in 19, one in 18, or two in 18. So in 2017, that's when the NFL shortened the overtime period from 15 to 10 minutes to
And
reduce the.
I don't see the point in that. I don't know what that is supposed to have accomplished by knocking 5 minutes off the overtime clock. Just to maybe put some urgency on it, I guess, but teams are
Yeah.
still going to play slow or fast, however they play, whatever they think will benefit them the most. And if it means like the other team doesn't get the ball again, then
Yeah. Well, now also
it's worth it to use the time.
each team will have a possession in the overtime now. So like
Yeah.
even if you score an opening touchdown, you don't win the game,
Right.
which they've changed it so.
Right. So I think that, that allows for the possibility to, for there to, I like that, both teams are guaranteed a possession. I think that makes more sense. I don't know why they didn't go to that initially instead of the way they have been
Having the
doing it.
field, a field, if they only scored a field goal, you could get another.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? Yeah. Just play another period anyway. It seems like that would make more sense. And just like,
And just
even if they
play a full 10-minute period, or play a full 15-minute period,
play a
and
full 15-minute period, whatever the score is at the end of that is what the end is, right? So if they want to slow it down so only one possession happens, then if you can do that, then that's an
yeah.
advantage that you have. That's a strategy that you can employ to ensure your victory. I'm okay with that too. So, but yeah, it's, I mean, if you're going to say both teams are guaranteed a possession, then you got to turn the clock off, essentially, right? Because, like, the first team could just use 14 minutes and the other team has one. Or you use 9 minutes and the other team gets one. That's not, I mean,
Yeah, they could use even the first team could go
what?
more than 10 minutes. There are drives that go longer than 10 minutes. What happens
Yeah.
if the first team spends all the time on the clock? Do they get an
Well,
untimed drive, or
it's
what?
just over, right?
I guess it would
That's
have to be.
why the clock part of it makes no sense. Just get rid of the clock and play it until somebody wins, or just moves on to another period. It does it like the time on the clock is meaningless,
Yeah.
right? Is what it should be, because it doesn't make sense with the other rules. But I mean, there's a lot of rules in the NFL that don't really jive with other rules that they have in the league too, so.
Yeah.
Because there are, different rules for different parts of the field, like the sideline, is out of bounds unless it's by the goal line, and then it extends beyond the goal line or beyond the out of bound mark.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. It doesn't matter what they say. They can make sense. They can, cram it into whatever. However they want it to make sense. You offense fumbles the ball into the opposing team's end zone, it goes out of bounds. It's a touchback. Like they recover possession somehow. Like, these things don't make sense. Like the other rules that they have don't jive with those some of the other rules, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think this is better, but it's still not right. So you're still going to end with ties sometimes. Then they're not going to be satisfying, I don't think.
Yeah.
Overtimes are cool though. I mean, I want to see overtime games. Like they are entertaining. It's just bonus football, and that's good. That's good for the sport. That makes
Yeah.
any individual game potentially more exciting. So,
Should there be a field goal kickoff or something like that if there is ends in a tie? Or do you think they should just end in a tie?
I mean, if it's between that and playing a different game to decide who wins, then I'd rather just have it into a tie.
Rather than some sort of shootout type of situation.
Yeah, that's what I felt like in baseball, like the All-Star game, had the home run derby sort of thing
Yeah.
to decide the winner. But that's in an exhibition game. It's not a regular season game.
Yeah.
So
Or
I'm okay with it in the exhibition scenario because it's still an exhibition. It doesn't really matter.
there's the college football overtime method. Do you like that better?
Yeah, because there's no real clock in that one. So it's more fair, I think. It's already been tested as a method, right? Like we've seen it in the college model and it's successful, and
Yeah.
you get
It's been tweaked
a
over the years.
satisfying end to a game.
Although
18 wins,
now,
18 loses.
I guess now it all, although it ends in 2-point conversion tries, at the end after two overtimes, I think it just becomes a battle of 2-point conversion plays.
Well, you have to get the touchdown and then you have to go for two. You can't kick an
And I
extra
think
point
also,
in.
I think after that, even it just becomes 2-point conversion tries.
Oh,
It's
they
just,
just do the 2-point conversions?
yeah, if I'm
Oh, I
correct.
haven't heard that. Yeah. I thought they just said it's first and 10 from the 25, and then if you score a touchdown, then you have to kick a 2-point. You have to go for two. You can't kick an extra point. That's what it was. I didn't know they changed it again. I don't know why they changed some of these rules.
Yeah, if the game is still tied after double overtime, each team attempts one 2-point conversion per period rather than getting the ball at the 25-yard line, and repeats hereafter if the tie still persists.
That's a weird thing. Yes. Why don't you just have your field goal kickers line up and see who can kick the longer field goal and just move it back 5 yards each time and do that.
Yeah. Well, I guess people like to see football.
It's an arbitrary thing
Yeah.
to do, right?
I think because they had too many like six and over seven overtime games, they didn't want to have that many. I don't know. I don't know.
Who
Maybe
cares?
they didn't want the score. Maybe the gamblers didn't like the over unders being manipulated that much with so many
Well,
overtimes.
completely destroyed then, right? Because
Yeah.
some games end up being like 70-63 or something because they played so many extra periods and they were able to score consistently there. Yeah, no, yeah. I could see that.
Well, speaking of field goal kicking and games ending in ways that we don't want them to end, my second loss of the week was the Raiders against the Bears. The Raiders were 1.5-point favorites. The Bears ended up winning that game 25-24 because they blocked a field goal that the Raiders were going to kick as time expired. A makeable field goal within, I think it was within 50 yards. It was a 40-something yard field goal. That Carlson was going to kick, but it was blocked. One of many blocked kicks this year in the NFL. It seemed like there have been a lot of those. But yeah, so the Raiders lost 25-24. Had they kicked the field goal, they would have won 27-25, and I would have won that bet. So I was very, very near 3-0, but I ended up being 1-2 because of a blocked field goal and a made field goal by Matt Prater. So now I have two so these two losses are by the slimmest of margins, but also kind of goes to show that the NFL odds makers know what they're doing when they're making these lines.
Yeah, kickers are going to be like all over your nemesis list then, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Of all the positions, the kicker position is going to be your most hated position.
Yes. So why don't we get into the wins, Dr. Scaff? Since you're 2-1, why don't we start talking about the locks of the week that were successfully locked?
So my first win of the week was actually the international game I had. That was the Minnesota at Pittsburgh, but in Dublin?
Yeah, Dublin.
Dublin? Yeah. Pittsburgh ended up winning that one by a field goal. We actually both picked Pittsburgh to win. They were underdogs by 2.5 points. We both took Pittsburgh. They ended up winning by a field goal. But my lock was on the over under. I had them over 40 and a half. Yeah, final score 24-21. So they're at 45 points, so 4.5 points over. Not decided by a single field goal. So,
Yeah, so you were, it was a late touchdown, I think, scored by, I don't remember who scored the last touchdown, but I think Minnesota scored the last touchdown to come close, if I was correct,
I actually wasn't paying attention at that point.
but either way, congratulations.
Minnesota did score a touchdown 2:08 to go, almost the exact same time stamp as the Buffalo Matt Prater field goal in the game, yeah.
That went over, yeah, two overs at the 2-minute mark. Well,
So yeah, it was 24-6 with 11 minutes to go in that game, and then yes. Minnesota scored two touchdowns, 50 over.
So my congratulations, my lone win of the week was also an upset pick that I picked on the big board. This was Jacksonville plus 3.5 at San Francisco. Since Nick Bosa was hurt, I thought maybe even Brock Purdy might not even play. So I was a little bit bearish on the 49ers, who were 3.5 point favorites against the Jaguars. 3.5 was a lot. I thought maybe 2.5 would have been something to consider, but the 3.5 was quite a few points. And Jacksonville's been playing pretty well. I don't San Francisco's been even ravaged by injuries again this year. So I picked the Jacksonville Jaguars plus 3.5. They actually won outright 26-21. So they won by 5. So I was about 8.5 points clear of on that pick. So that was my lone victory of the week. But Jacksonville, of course, will play the Chiefs coming up next week. And in sneak preview, I have a bet on that game as well. So we'll see what how that turns out. We'll talk about it when we get on the other side of our baseball coverage. But first, let's talk about your final lock of the week, Dr. Scav.
My final pick was in the Philadelphia Tampa game, which neither of us were able to pick very well on the big board on the spread. But I expected this game to be a little bit high scoring, and so I had the over at 44.5, and Philly ended up winning that game 31-25, so 56 points, well over the 44.5 for my
Yeah.
second win of the week for the first time this season, above 500 on my locks of the week. So maybe I finally righted the ship.
So yeah, that makes you 4-8
That's right.
on the season and
Minus $400.
minus $400
You're
and well, I can't remember.
one. You're 5-7.
5-7. Yeah.
So one pick better than me, but $200 better than me right now.
$50, but 5-7 to 4-8. So our locks of the week haven't exactly been airtight, but maybe they're getting maybe we'll get there as the season goes on. Usually we're a little bit worse off at the beginning of the season and we start to get a little bit better in the second half of the season. Week five we also have our first set of byes in week five. So we don't have 16 games to choose from. I think we only have 14 games to choose from.
14 games, yeah.
So it's a little where our sample our choices are limited. I guess we have 32 we have 32 possible bets that we could make, or six I guess 64 possible bets. We have 16 games. We have over under and spread. We can bet on either any of those games, and we can go either way on each of those. So there are 64 possible bets. In a week like that, but now we're down to 56 possible bets this week. So maybe having a slightly smaller set of choices will make us better. You would think that would be. I don't know if that would. You think that does that have anything to do with it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about your number, actually. Is that, did you say 64, 16, 32, 48, and then 96 possible, right?
No, I think
What do you mean?
we have
Oh.
well I'm not including the money line because
Oh, okay.
that's not one of our locks that we have a
Now
choice
we're on there. Yeah, we don't do money lines on locks. Yes.
yeah
Gotcha. All right.
yeah for our lock choices we only have we're down
Yeah.
to 64
I thought you
to
were transitioning over to the big board and that.
oh
No,
we can go
sorry.
there we could
No.
transition board on the
Yeah.
big board on the big board this week I almost broke even. I was just down $35. So all that work for losing $35 out of my 4,800. You were down a bit higher. You were almost down $600 dollars this week. It was the spreads that killed you this you.
Yeah, totally killed me on the spreads. Yeah.
Yeah, I was not so good on the money line. Not the money line. On the over unders because they were mostly overs this week. 10 out of the
Yeah.
16 overs. I picked all unders as I usually do, and so That was what cost me most of my money. I actually lost $451 on the over unders. You actually gained $313 in the over, so that saved you from an even worse week on the over unders.
It would have been a total disaster if I hadn't gone a little on the over side, yeah.
Yeah,
Although I didn't pick that many overs, but I had
you picked the right
only
overs.
six overs, but looks like five of them are correct.
You cashed on five of the six overs that you picked. Yeah,
Yeah. So and two of my locks were overs, so I think that may be a preview for what you may see from me in the my locks of the week for this week too. Maybe I found a little bit of a knack at selectively choosing overs, Mike. So I'm gonna try that again for this week.
we'll see. We'll see. Well, so that leads us into
Maybe,
next
maybe.
into next week. But first, do you want to talk a little baseball before we get into okay, or we should talk about our season totals on the over unders, and the big board. Our
Oh
season
yeah.
totals, we cumulatively have I am down $841 and you are down $1,125. So
So I doubled my loss for the season today.
And
So that's not good. So you've surpassed me now, yeah.
I have
Or
lost
I guess
less.
I have surpassed you by have lo now having lost more money than you.
Yeah, I have lost less money somehow than you have, but I still have lost money. So we're neither of us are doing so great. I think it goes to show that you shouldn't be making bets on every single NFL game. You should be picking the ones that are good for you. Although we haven't done that well either. So maybe,
Our selective picks have not been great. In previous years, like my volume picking has been better than my locks. This year, both are bad. So.
Yeah, we'll just have to see. It's a long season, so it's hard to we still have we have 18 weeks in the season. We've only gone through week four, so
We're still learning. The league is still learning. The Vegas is still learning. What these teams are. There have been some like really crazy sort of things have happened. Atlanta has been very hit and miss. Carolina has been really miss and then one hit, right? They played one game really well and then they were pretty terrible in the other game. So but yeah, like Michael Penix for Atlanta has had two like games around 300 yards passing and two games like around only 150 or so, and then the games that he's played well in, they've done well, and the game that he hasn't played well, they've done pretty terribly. So yeah, it's a you don't know if you're on the betting side of this, like if you see somebody has like a Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing, like it's really hard to just figure out which way it's going to go in any given week, right? Like it's not like two teams play pretty well. If they meet, maybe they both play well or one plays a little bit worse, but you can sort of like have an idea as to what it's going to be. But if it's just like Jekyll and Hyde, then that's really hard to change. Yeah.
And so it's hard to, especially this early on, it's hard to tell which team is a Jekyll, which team is a Hyde.
Yeah. In any given week, right? Yeah. Because if you can be both, then that's tough. Wow.
Speaking of betting, should we talk about our bets that we're making on baseball, or should we talk about the Royals first if we talk when we talk about baseball?
Let's talk about the Royal season first, and then we should mention our win total, season win total numbers too, which are sort of boring result, but we
We
can
each
mention it anyway.
did we each finish 2-2? Was that
Which we did finish too,
it was
yes.
it hinged on the Roy it hinged on the Royals 82 and a half over under. I went over, you went under, and of course they finished 82 and 80 after w winning 2 out of 3 in Oakland. They had a winning record, but 82 wins rather than 83 wins. They needed to sweep the A's to get to 83, but they won their last two games. They were 80 and 80, and they won their last two. So at least they're over 500 for the second straight year. And they had a lot of injuries this year, a lot of pitching injuries in particular, that really seemed to cost them. And I think that was the main reason I think they perhaps underachieved a little bit, but they were about 5.5, was it five? They were 5 games out of the last wild card spot. I think they needed 80. We had mentioned they needed probably 87 wins to get into the wild card, and they only had 82. So,
Yeah. So you were pretty spot on from your expectation for how many wins would be needed to get there. You were
yeah,
pretty close.
I was pretty close. Yeah.
So they may have needed, what, 88 wins, I guess, right? Wouldn't that have been?
They probably would have lost the tiebreaker had they only had 87. Although I don't know
Yeah.
what, did they beat Houston in the season series? I think they did, didn't they?
I'm not, I don't, I think so, but I'm not, I don't remember exactly.
They lost to Detroit in the season series, but I think they beat Houston. So I think they needed, if they had gotten 87, they would have won. Because I think they, oh wait, that was against Texas. They won the regular season.
Texas, they won.
I don't remember what happened to
Houston,
them.
I don't remember what they did. They usually don't do well against Houston,
Yeah.
but I don't remember them. I don't think they did as badly this year against Houston. Let's see. They didn't play him in the second half. They lost 2 of 3 at home, and they won 2 of 3 on the road.
Okay.
So
So
they were even. So
then I don't know what the tiebreaker is after that.
the tiebreaker of the tiebreaker, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a three-way. If
I guess
they got there, they would have been a three-way tie. So I
with
don't.
Detroit. I know they lost to Detroit. They lost the one against the Detroit, the tiebreaker with Detroit. So I don't know
Okay.
if the three-way tiebreaker would have started head-to-head, or if it had been. I don't know. I'm not sure what Houston was with Detroit either. So that was a yeah.
Well, 88 wins would have guaranteed them in the playoffs. 87 wins would have put them in a tiebreaker scenario where they may not have won. But Detroit apparently ended up with the tiebreaker win over Houston, though. So, whatever that ended up, because yeah, Houston is out and Detroit is in, facing the Guardians in the first round. Like they just faced them this w earlier this week to get into this to get into the scenario that they're in.
Yeah, the Guardians finished 88-74, 1 game ahead of the Tigers to
Yeah.
win the division. The Tigers almost flamed out and lost so many that they lost the wild card, but they didn't. The Royals, I guess, were the 7th place team. The
In the wild card? No.
8th place, I guess they finished behind the Astros. The Astros were eliminated.
Yeah.
So they were 8 out of 15. So they're exactly the median team in
Right.
American League. Even though they finished 1 game ahead of the Rangers, who were 81-81, they were 82-80. But yeah, so I feel a little bit disappointed in the Royals season, but I'm glad they had a winning record, and I think that they'll build on next year and they'll do okay.
They did have a couple, positive notes at the end of the season. Bobby Witt Jr. did end up winning the hit title for major leagues and was the leader in doubles also. And Carlos Estevez ended up leading the majors in saves, which was, I think, only the second Kansas City closer to win in that category, which is pretty impressive. So.
Yeah, saves was a yeah, I was surprised. Yeah, Estevez had 42
42
saves.
saves on the saves, yeah.
Yeah, 2 above Roberto Suarez from San Diego, 4 above Andrés Muñoz in the American League lead. So yeah, there weren't and then yeah, it was 42, 40, 38, and then 33. So a lot of lower numbers of saves. So the Royals really yeah, they
Oh, 42 saves for one guy. That means, over half of the Royals' wins were save situations. Not just save situations, but ended with a save with that pitcher on the mound, right? So they're playing a lot of close games. They're not able to to win by sizable margins. But they had a healthy Estevez for the whole season, right? They didn't he wasn't he did miss a big chunk of the year, so that, you know, that's a promising sign. He's still under contract, so they don't you know, they're not trying to replace him next year, so that's, you know, another promising thing that the Royals have going for them for next year, as you know, Bobby Witt also is going to still be the Royal for the next year and, well, like 9 more years after that, something like that, under the current contract. I think the team alluded to the Royals maybe extending Sal's contract. Also, did you catch that in the postseason conference, I guess, with the general manager and manager? But they have not picked up his option though for next year. Maybe looks like they're going to extend his contract, is what the speculation is on Sal. You think that seems to be a decent idea though? Don't you think that for the Royals and, you know, continuing their Salvador Perez era?
Yeah, I think having him around is going to be good, and not letting him go, because he's the sort of heart of the team. Also, they with Carter Jensen now, maybe as a solid backup slash, you know, even maybe borderline starting catcher, with have Perez more at DH, more at first base, save him. But yeah, Perez had another. Yes, he started out pretty slow this season. We were worried whether he was done or not, but then he had a great finishing kick to the season. Had more than 30 home runs. Was he at, how many home runs did he have? 30,
I think
something
right on 30,
like that.
and finished with it, like, I think exactly 100 RBIs too. And so they Sal and Pasquantino each finished with over 100 RBIs. I think there were only like 7 or 8 players in the American League that had 100 RBIs, and the Royals had two of them, which is kind of impressive.
And neither one was Garcia or Bobby Witt, who actually
Right.
were their two top players in wins above replacement in WAR. Bobby Witt was actually third in the MLB in batting WAR, and he has, at least on,
Or
and Garcia was number 15 in the league, in all of the major leagues, not just the American League. So,
that's impressive. So I think that, you know, there are like promising things to look at in the season. I don't think though, you know, the record is something that they should probably be paying too much attention to, but, you know, what they do in the off season is going to be, you know, pretty important. Are they going to try to go find other guys to fill slots, or are they going to just hopefully let it ride with some of the young players and like let them develop and hopefully improve? I mean, hopefully they're not going after more mediocre players that are going to take playing time away from their young guys. That's the scenario that I don't like, that they seem to be infatuated with, though.
It's bringing in the Randal Grichuk's and the Yastrzemski's and the Fraziers and things like that. Because they had maybe one good little stretch, they bring them in full time. So yeah, you worry about that. But you also worry that the younger players might just not be what they're supposed to be. So you want to have somebody who can take their place if they need it. But yeah.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that strategy, but that's not how they play it. They play them equally or toward the favor of the veteran, who we know is not part of the future of the franchise. So that's what really bothers me about how they've handled stuff like this in the last couple of years, because it's preferential treatment to players that they know aren't part of the future, rather than, you know, trying to make the young player develop and, you know, turn them into the player they want them to be, rather than, you know, just waiting to see if they might overtake the guy that they've purposefully put as a blockade in their way for some reason. That isn't helpful. That's annoying to watch, Mike.
Well, are you going to, speaking of annoying to watch or not annoying, are you going to watch the playoffs this year that the Royals are not in? We've got the wild card round that just started. All four series just started this week. We also made our bets in the wild card series. Each of us predicted that the Yankees would defeat the Red Sox. Each of us predicted that the Padres would defeat the Cubs. Both of those teams have lost, the teams that we predicted to win have lost game one. So it's 1-0 Chicago over San Diego, and it's 1-0 Boston over New York. We also each picked the Dodgers to win over Cincinnati. The Dodgers are winning their opening game 8-1 now, so that seems pretty comfortable. But we split on the Guardians Tigers series. I picked the Tigers to beat the Guardians, and the Tigers are up 1-0 because of Tarik Skubal start. They won 2-1 this afternoon. So, but we'll keep track of that, and by the end of by next week, maybe some of these wild card series will be over, and we can make bets on the divisional
They will
series.
definitely be over because they're only
Best of five.
best of
They're
three
only best of three. That's
for the
right.
wild card. Yeah, I didn't remember that they were that short. I was actually literally just looking it up just to make sure what it was because I thought it was five, but no, it's best of only three. So being down 1-0 is kind of a big deal for the betting lines. We're not off to a great start. On half of our picks, and then the other half are mixed for, well, we're good on one, and then we split on the other one though, so
Oh, we
you're looking
didn't.
good.
I guess we didn't mention our season over unders. We mentioned for the season we were each 2-2, but we didn't go through the teams that we were 2-2 for. But
Yeah.
we can. I don't know. I was correct on the White Sox and the Braves. I picked the White Sox over, what was it,
4 and a half.
54.5. They won 60 games, I believe. And
Yep.
the Braves were well under 95 wins or whatever they're.
They needed the 93 and a half. They were only at 76, so you
So,
comfortably
yeah.
under. And you knew you'd won this bet like a month ago, basically, which is
Yeah,
crazy.
and then the Pirates couldn't quite match. Was it they were 73.5, something like that?
75 and a half. They were
75
at
and a
like
half. They won
71.
71, so they were a
Yeah.
little bit under, and the Royals were 1.5 game under. So that's what split it from me 3-1, you 1-3. But you ended up being 2-2. So you got the Royals right. Who else did you get right?
I got Houston right at 86 and a half wins. They finished with 87 because
So
they won the final two games of the season. So I barely snuck that one out.
You were 2 wins away from being 0-4.
Yes.
You were t
Well, for the Royals, it's only one win. Oh, yeah. So two wins.
yeah
One,
one
if you won,
one for
Houston
each
didn't
game.
win, and the one the Royals did win. Yes.
Yeah,
I could
two
have been
games.
0-4.
It could have been 0-4, but you squeaked, you eked out a 2-2, and you were off on the Dodgers, or who did you make?
I had the Yankees under
Yankees.
88 and a half. I thought maybe that they wouldn't do quite as well without Soto. They were almost identical with and without Soto.
Yeah, the
It was
Yankees
88 and a
are.
half wins. The over number ended up 94 for the Yankees.
Yeah.
They ended up pretty solid. And I had Miami not being very good this year. I had the under at 63 and a half. They ended up at 79 wins. So they were way over in that
Yeah.
one. I don't know where that came from. It doesn't make sense to me, but good for Miami.
Different Miami.
Yeah.
What, the
And
Marlins?
their fans that don't go to their games, stuff like that. That's
Yeah.
fine.
Yeah, I'm a little sneezy tonight.
You need that sneeze button.
I do.
Yeah. It'd be overused right now.
Yeah, I'd be wearing out the sneeze button if there or the good thing we're not in studio together, or you'd be sneeze or you maybe would catch whatever I have. I think it's allergies, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably just allergy. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So should we move on to we'll talk more baseball as we go on through the playoffs, but for now, do you want to move on to week five of the NFL? Give us our week five preview. So we have the Chiefs on Monday night playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. How do you see that game going, Dr. Scott? Do the Chiefs continue their two-game winning streak and make it a three in a row over the hated Jaguars, or
Are they the hate? Are they the hated Jaguars? I don't
I
know.
don't know. I
Oh,
was overemphasizing the Chiefs Jaguars rivalry.
yes. Well,
There was.
What isn't that's where Minshew was though, wasn't he for?
Yeah, Gardner Minshew was a started
Yeah.
at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah.
Maybe the question would be, do you think we'll see a Minshew have a Minshew appearance in the game? Now for the as the Chiefs fans, you hope it's in, garbage time and not earlier in the game, right?
In
But yeah.
garbage time because they're way ahead rather than garbage time because they're way behind. But yeah,
That exact, yes,
the
exactly.
Chiefs did have a, there was a Minshew appearance in the Chiefs Ravens game. So
Yeah.
maybe a second Minshew mania. Or maybe they'll run some gadget plays just for Minshew to get his revenge on the Jaguars for casting him off all those years ago for Trevor Lawrence.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. I think that, that'd be nice if they would work that in somehow. So yeah, that'd be kind of cool, but I don't expect it though.
Yeah, I don't think they'll take Mahomes out for Minshew, even with Minshew's
Or have them both on the
head
field, because
involved.
you don't want the risk of like some weird play where like they run into each other
A
somehow or
double
something, right?
quarterback. Well, I have always wanted to see a two quarterback offense. I think that would be ideal if you had two kind of if you had Lamar Jackson and then another running type quarterback, two guys who could run really well and two guys who could throw pretty well. That would be.
Yeah.
And then directional snapping, which I think would be part of the two quarterback offense. You'd have a shotgun approach sometimes, and you wouldn't know necessarily who the quarterback was going to get the ball if you could have
Right.
a very adept, dexterous center who could snap going either direction.
Would the quarterbacks know which way
It would be in the
the
plan,
ball's going?
yeah. Or there would be a lot of laterals between the two quarterbacks, one to get receive the toss of the and then one to get the ball second. So I still think that's the offense of the future is the two quarterback offense.
So then would defenses have to like assign two different spies then, like a spy for one quarterback and a spy for the other quarterback?
They might.
Yeah, that'd be man, that'd be like you're inventing a whole new layer to the modern NFL offense and defense both, Mike. You're gonna make coordinators, heads explode here with
I'm
this
sure some
concept.
people have thought of it, but nobody's ever gone through with it from what I've seen.
You see a lot more of like a quarterback might run off as like a motion man sometimes, and they'll snap it right to a tight end or a running back, most likely a running back, right? Like the sort of
Yeah.
wildcat sort of offense. That's not so much a directional snap change though.
Yeah, I guess you would also have to have which you know, decide which quarterback would be the signal caller, which one would just be the because they have to they because they yell one would yell out hut hut hut, and the other and the, you wouldn't probably switching cadences between the two might be confusing at the same time. So then maybe that's something you could use a silent count maybe.
And only one QB can have the radio headset too, right? So,
Yeah. I guess there are some schemes that use two quarterbacks, but it's not in. Yeah, it's maybe some high schools or small colleges maybe have used that.
You're gonna have to talk your way into being a like a high school coach somewhere just to implement this offense and prove that it works, Mike.
Yeah.
That can be the basis of our of a new TV show produced by the Warning Track Power Hour.
Ooh, according to Sports Illustrated, KU used two quarterbacks in the same backfield at some times.
How far back was that, though? Was
Was
that...
when Jalen Daniels and Jason Bean were in the backfield together.
Oh, that was pretty recent then.
Yeah,
That was
for
just
sure.
like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So, it's been used.
Yeah. Well, we don't expect to see that this week, but it's a
No.
possibility.
No. But anyway, yeah. So, you think the
It's on the
Chiefs
radar now.
will? You think you are you worried about this game? Is this a trap game? Going again, they're riding high off of the Sunday afternoon victory over the Ravens. Maybe they're thinking, okay, we're back. We don't need to worry about the Jaguars. Or do you think they'll be ready to play?
I mean, it seems like they've been progressing, right? Like week one, the offense didn't look so good, defense didn't look so good. They sort of, the offense has seemingly gotten more together as the season's gone on. The defense seems to be doing on the same sort of trajectory. So I don't really I mean, I don't think it really matters who they're facing. I think they're kind of on their own timetable for making progression through the season. So I don't think it's going to be a trap game sort of thing. I think they seem pretty, in tune right now. I hope it continues to be the same way anyway. Do you think it's a trap game sort of scenario, or do you think it's does the opponent not matter
Well, I
for
don't know if the
the Chiefs?
opponent doesn't matter, but I don't see it as a trap game. I think having it on Monday night makes it, if it were maybe a noon game on Sunday, one of the many noon games on Sunday, it would maybe be seen as a less special. But having it on Monday night, prime time, national TV audience, I think the Chiefs will be primed to play. And so much, I think that's so much that I will make that my first lock of the week, Dunderscaff. I'm picking the Chiefs, who are favored by 3 points over Jacksonville. I'm picking the Chiefs -3. So I think they will win by, I guess, 4 points or more against the Jaguars in Jacksonville on Monday night. So that's my first lock of the week.
It does have that trap game scenario though. I had not really looked ahead to see what the schedule was for the week after though. The Chiefs do have the Lions the following week, so the you know that does set up that sort of scenario where you're have on your mind the more dangerous next opponent rather than the opponent you're facing this current week. But you don't really see the Chiefs doing that,
But
right?
the
Like I
Jaguars
don't.
are 3-1 in their own right, so they aren't really as they're the
A
same record.
team to overlook.
They have the
Yeah.
same record as Detroit, so.
Well, and Jacksonville has played the Chiefs very tough in the past, also, right? Like we've met them in the playoffs. We've seen them, play physical defense against them in a regular season game too, not that long ago. So, I think they're not a team that they're going to be overlooking, I don't think.
No, I
Yeah.
hope not. That's my guess. So, how about your first lock of the week, Dunderscaff? What are you looking forward to come this weekend?
Maybe I'll throw out my first the well, the pick that won't fit the other trend that I maybe mentioned earlier about looking at the overs that I'd done well with last week. But actually on the Chiefs next opponent, the Detroit Lions game, I like the spread in this one, even though the spread is quite large. It's a 9.5 point spread in favor of Detroit, but they are playing Cincinnati Bengals, who are pretty depleted in by injury. This seems like a game that Detroit will likely be attempting to run up the score. They seem to do that against opponents that they don't that have difficulty scoring. So, yeah, I kind of see this as Detroit as being a runaway game in this one. So I've got Detroit -9.5 at Cincinnati.
Detroit -9.5. Yeah, Detroit likes to run up the score. They like to score a lot of points. Cincinnati looked really bad against Denver. They lost, was it 28-3 on Monday night? So, on one of the Monday night games.
And that's one like the over under might be interesting, but I don't know that Cincinnati can score enough points to help clear the 49.5 point line, Mike. Do you think that's it? You always take the unders, but do you think that's at risk?
I do take the unders, and that's actually my second lock of the week, Dunderscaff. Thank you for the nice segue. We were both betting on Detroit.
I did not remember that you were making the pick in that game, too.
So I picked them under 49.5 because I don't think Cincinnati will score that many points. I think Cincinnati will also allow fewer points than against, even though Detroit's offense is better than Denver's offense, most likely. I think since they're at home, I think it'll be a closer game. I think maybe Detroit might score 28, but it might be a 28-10 type of game, or it might be something like 24 to 17, something with fewer points for both teams, and not enough points really for. I don't think it'll be a shootout with Cincinnati scoring a lot of points. I think Cincinnati's offense, especially with Burrow out. And maybe with a frustrated, we have a very frustrated Ja'Marr Chase So they were not. I think maybe they'll probably score more points than they did against Denver, but I don't know how many points they'll score. I think they're a team that's in a little bit of a tailspin right now. So I like Detroit to score. I like Detroit to win that game. I don't, but I also like the under. So under 49.5. It's the second highest over under of the weekend. 50.5 is the over under with what game is the 50.5? Was it Buffalo again?
Buffalo, New England, yeah.
Buffalo, New England. Yeah, I almost bet the under on that game. But I will bet on that Buffalo, New England game as well as my third lock of the week. Should I go to that third, or should we? You need to do your second first.
I can do my second real quick. So I had success with betting overs last week. I think I'm gonna stick with that sort of selective over method that did work well last time. So my second pick, I've got the Houston at Baltimore. Houston hasn't been scoring a lot of points, but they've been facing a lot tougher defenses. Baltimore's defense is pretty depleted at this point. So maybe Houston can actually contribute some more points to this collective required point total. Baltimore is going to score, in the 20s, probably no matter what. So the over under is only at 43.5. That seems really attainable, I think, for the over. So I'm going to go, yeah, Houston at Baltimore over 43.5. Take a second pick.
Excuse me. I'm going to go unders if I go under every game, but I don't think that's a bad pick, especially with Baltimore's depleted defense. Houston's offense, who knows? But
Yeah.
yeah,
I think they're only scoring like around 20 a game, but that's enough. If Baltimore scores 24, then that's still over, right? So
Baltimore's been allowing 30
yeah.
plus points a game, 30 almost 35 points a game, I think. So,
Yeah.
33, something like that, points a game. So yeah, they allowed 40 to Buffalo. They allowed 38 to the Lions, 37 to the Chiefs, and then not that many to the Browns. But
Yeah. In that last game, the one scenario you don't want is Detroit to score the 52 points that they did against the Bears a couple of weeks ago, because that would
yeah.
themselves trip the over,
Pushed
right?
over. Yeah, we don't want
So,
that. We don't want that.
that's the only one you don't really want. Yes.
Yeah, we
Yeah.
don't want that many points from the Lions.
In this game though, I don't care who scores points as long as they get enough to get over 44.5, 43.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not that many.
Speaking, we spoke of the Buffalo New England 50.5 line. I almost went under there, but I decided to go a different way and bet New England Buffalo. New England is actually 8.5 point underdogs in Buffalo. New England played really well last week. I think it's a divisional game. I think maybe New England has always seemed to play well against Buffalo, kind of keep things close, even if they aren't winning a lot of games. So I think again, it's a big point spread. The Buffalo didn't cover the New Orleans big point spread, so I'm not sure they'll cover. Again, I think probably they'll win that game. But New England, I think, can keep it somewhat close. Keep it within a touchdown. I like New England plus 8.5 against at Buffalo. It's the Sunday night game, so maybe New England will be primed a little bit more for it. Maybe Buffalo will come out a little bit tight. Again, of course, it could be just a blowout one way or the other, but I like New England to keep it a little bit close. I'm a little surprised it's the Sunday night game, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's a great
Well,
game.
New England's coming off their best game of the year too, so maybe they're riding enough of a high to at least keep it close, right? Maybe even threaten
Yeah.
enough to maybe force Buffalo to win it late somehow, or at least
Yeah.
just hold on sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the greatest week in terms of marquee matchups. The Rams 49ers is a pretty good game on Thursday. Denver at Philadelphia could be a good game too. But there's a lot of kind of duds on the schedule. I think the Giants at the Saints, Dolphins at the Panthers, Tennessee at Arizona, Dallas Jets. Those aren't particularly sexy matchups, I don't think. So, but going into the season, you don't know that's going to happen or not. But yeah, it's I, there aren't a, there are a lot of games that maybe are watchable only if you have money riding on one of those teams or on an over under.
Right. And you actually mentioned one of the games that I have my third lock of the week in,
Yes.
which is that Tennessee Arizona game that is probably going to be unwatchable, but it always seems like every week there's one game between two teams that you don't think can score a lot of points, and somehow they put some giant numbers up on the game. I think this is that game of this week. So I've got Tennessee at Arizona. Over/under is not super high though. It's only 41.5, so that seems really attainable though. So I think this is that matchup that goes against what your like gut instinct says. That's going to be a low scoring scrapper of a game. It's probably going to be some kind of weird shootout. I don't know why. Just that it seems like there's always one game every week that's like that. I think this is that one this time.
It could be. It could be. It's not the lowest. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a low over under, but it's not the lowest. By far, the lowest over under is the 36.5 Minnesota at Cleveland. Do you have a pick for that one? Do you like over or under Minnesota at Cleveland? Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco, clash of the.
Yeah, I think Cleveland's been having trouble scoring points. I think what they're only like in the I think they're under 15 points a game, I think, on the season. And in Minnesota either scores 48 or nothing. Right? So
Yeah.
it's one of those that this is a Jekyll and Hyde scenario, right? If there's like defensive scores, then it's gonna get up there, but I don't know. That one has all the hallmarks of just being an ugly game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you'd think that Minnesota would be able to put up at least some number of points almost no matter what, just because they have like really good dynamic receivers, and you'd think they should be a threat even, with basically any quarterback back there, as long as they can throw the ball far enough ahead of whichever receiver is, the target downfield. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't quite get how Minnesota is. So yeah, Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing too.
Well, they
But
don't. Yeah, if you think, I think maybe they actually are better with Wentz than they would be with McCarthy. But
yeah.
I think they made a mistake not keeping Sam Darnold. I think that's fairly evident, seeing how well Seattle is doing this year with Darnold and
And
Cooper Kupp and those
Seattle
guys.
looks decent, right? Like
Yeah.
they're in the mix for the division lead. I mean, early talk at least anyway for if you're just trying to project out where they're going to be based on how they started, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, as injured as the 49ers already are, then I mean anything can happen. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you surprised that Darnold has to look this good? Like, do you think it was just the wide receivers in Minnesota that made him look better?
I don't know. I think Darnold maybe was just a late bloomer. They didn't give him enough time to develop. He was also in the Jet for the Jets, so maybe that was just a place where quarterbacks
Yeah.
were high. But he was a very talented, hyped prospect who was, picked ahead of Josh Allen, picked ahead of Lamar Jackson that draft. A lot of people thought he'd be picked ahead of Baker Mayfield as well. So he was one of the hyped up quarterbacks of that 2018 quarterback class that actually is all everybody but Josh Rosen has turned out to be pretty good. I actually thought Josh Rosen might be the best one, but he turned out to be by far the worst of the quarterbacks. He is, I think, in graduate school now, getting his MBA, University of Pennsylvania, from what I saw.
Really,
Yeah.
I mean that's some of that has to do with just where he ended up, though, right? I mean, it's not,
I think some of it's where he ended up. Also, some of it, I think,
yeah.
is his background. His parents were professors, and I think he had a more academic mindset. Maybe he didn't wasn't the didn't have some of the NFL intangibles maybe that these other quarterbacks did, or he wouldn't maybe he just didn't tolerate adversity in the same way. But Yeah, it just wasn't his bag, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought he threw a better pass than Darnold did when I watched him at UCLA and Darnold at USC. I thought Rosen had a prettier release and even better than Darnold, but that did not happen. Darnold, aka Dwight Schrute, has proved to be pretty good in the pros this last couple of years. So, yeah, he's keeping things interesting. At least so far this year, he's been a good, really, really good quarterback.
It's also promising. It means that maybe, players that get drafted by and potentially ruined by the Jets aren't necessarily just ruined by the Jets. They can still have successful careers if they leave the
Well,
Jets.
we haven't had Zach Wilson revival yet. So, where is Zach? Is Wilson still in the Broncos, or where's Zach Wilson right now?
Well, I don't know where he is now. I don't remember what happened with him.
Oh, he's with the Dolphins now. He was at the Broncos last year. He's with the Dolphins as their backup at this point. Signed a 1-year, $6 million deal with the Miami Dolphins to be their backup. I guess we've
He's
covered that.
he has gotten a new game. He's a 5 of 8 for 32 yards.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be the next reclamation project. Although you could also say the Giants with Daniel Jones, and another New York franchise. Daniel Jones has been a revelation this year as well, coming back from mediocrity and obscurity, toiling away in maybe it's the MetLife Stadium. I'm sneezing a lot. Maybe my sneezing is signaling the. We should come to an end this week in the Warren Trek Power Hour, unless you have more to add, Dr. Scaff. You're
Maybe I'll
one.
just add, maybe we'll end this on one question then here for you. We're down to just 2 4-0 teams, 2 0-4 teams. So you've got the Eagles and Bills at 4-0, and the Saints and Jets at 0-4. Do you think any of these teams will take a win or break their undefeated or unvictorious records? As we can, or who's the most likely
I think the Saints are probably
change
most
their
likely to,
fortunes?
because they're playing the Giants at home. And the Giants are coming off a
Yeah.
big victory with Jackson Dart, but they're also coming off a horrible injury to Malik Nabers, their best wide receiver, who tore his ACL. So one of two great wide receivers who tore their ACLs. Again, Tyreek Hill also seems like he tore his ACL along with some other ligaments in his knee this past week. So I think it's the Saints at home against the Giants. I think maybe they can sneak out a victory and win the first game. So that would be my, because I don't think Tennessee is going to win at Arizona. I don't think the Denver Broncos are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Even though it's a possibility, I think, but I don't think they are. And I don't think the I still even though I bet a +8.5 on New England, I don't think New England's going to win at Buffalo. So I think most likely, I think the Saints are actually favored by 1.5 over the Giants. So I guess seems to think that's the most likely scenario as well. What do you think, Dr. Skeff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Tennessee will sneak out a win there against Arizona. You just never know what Arizona's going to do either, right? So,
No.
but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it seems like New Orleans is probably the most likely of the four to change their fortune. But yeah, I have a hard time thinking Philly's going to lose. Oh, but you never know. Yeah, it seems like the two 4-0 teams are unlikely to lose. It'd be a pretty big surprise if either of them drop a game this week. But yeah, I'd be less surprised that an 0-4 team gets a win, especially after seeing like Carolina, win in a 30-0 game
Yeah.
too. So that's if that can happen, then another 0-4 team could easily
Yeah.
surprise with some crazy score like that too. You never know.
You never know. You always know here at the Warren Track Power Hour that we're going to give a high quality presentation, and we did again this week, I believe, Dr. Scaff. But we shouldn't rest on our laurels. We should maybe we will rest on our laurels and end this week's episode and wait until next week to come back again with another action-packed, hard-hitting, hair-splitting bit of analysis as we have come to say some. That was one of our expressions for a little while. It kind of went away.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll come back again now that we're in the NFL season. But yeah, anything else to add before we sign off, Dr. Scaff?
I think we're done for this week, right?
Yes, I think so too. I think that about wraps it up here. As always, I am Dr. Michael Werman. He is Dr. Andrew Scaff. We are the Warning Track Power Hour. Please like and or subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is available on YouTube, and or our podcast, which is available on many different podcast delivery platforms, including the one you use. We wish you all the best of luck this weekend as you're making your bets and watching your NFL games this season. Especially, we wish you luck making your bets as long as your interests do not conflict with ours. You already laid out our interests, but going on this year, it seems like if you pick against us, well, you usually win. So, if you simply just directly pick the opposite of what we pick, you would have a pretty good record on the year as a bettor.
Maybe it's trending the other way
Maybe it's trending the other way now. It's hard to say. We were 3-3 together this week. So if you had picked against us, you would have actually broken slightly under even because of the way the odds work. But
now. The juice.
the juice, the vig, the yeah, the slight the slight bit of profit that automatically goes to Las Vegas. So, yeah, they have that's why Vegas is undefeated in when it comes to winning over the course of years and years and years. Most people lose money gambling unless they're maybe select few professionals can do it, but we haven't become that select few although we've had times where years where we've made more correct locks of the week than missed, and we would have come out on top slightly, but still not enough to make a living, of course, as a professional gambler.
We're not quite to that status yet, but maybe
Not
we're
yet,
hitting
not yet. We're getting there. Yeah,
that. Yeah.
we're inching ever so close. So
We
you.
also are avoiding the parlays, which I think are the ones that seem to really favor the casinos, the
Yeah,
sports books.
the sports books the parlays are fun, but yeah, they really are the odds. You should make separate bets most likely. You won't win the big money, but you also won't. Your odds are better. If you're making, even you make four bets in a row, you should be getting 16-1 odds, but usually you can get something like 12-1 odds or something like that. If you have a 14 parlay.
I know. I remember there was one time I definitely should have made a parlay but didn't, was when I was doing like a pick'em game with a UFC card, and I picked all of the card correctly. Like all 10 bouts, I got them all right, and I was like, oh man, that would have been one gigantic payout. Even if it was a small bet, it would have been, a 10 leg parlay. That would have been a big payoff.
Well, what might have
But no,
been.
didn't do that. Yeah,
What
should
might
have
have
done it. Should have
should have done it. Well,
done
what you should have done is to tune in next week in the past. What you should do, I suppose, and then should have done. You should have done.
Yes.
You should have listened to our podcasts the last few weeks. You can always go back and listen to those old podcasts. They're still as timeless as ever, even if they are. You can always go back and make fun of our hot takes and our mistakes. But you also can find occasional nuggets of wisdom found in there as well. We didn't go really on many tangents this week. Talking about we haven't talked about any pop culture items. Maybe we'll have something for you next week, though. We started a little bit late this week, so we wanted to hurry things along and make this week's podcast a hard hitting and action packed and fluffless
laser focused.
Laser focused, yes.
Yeah.
Jam-packed full of content situation that we're now, but now of course now we're falling on the from the way on the wayside because we're running off the rails, and that's what that was the phrase I was looking for, running off the rails. So we'll get back on the track and head to week five next week, where we'll and then next week's episode of the Power Hour, we'll talk about week six's action. We will review week five. We'll also talk about the baseball wild card playoffs, and also the divisional round, ALDS's and NLDS series, and have a lot more fun for you next week. So until next time, we will wish you a good day.